we're afraid they're going to reinstate the draft and say they can take everyone up to 53-year-olds.
That's right. And Ray Nagin pissed me off because he said, we're going to have to make a note about that for next time. Welcome to Colin's Screaming Argonauts. We're just two guys talking to anyone about everything. I'm Max.
I'm the Fabulous Penguin.
And today is Sunday, a special Sunday edition, September 7th, 2008, or as I like to say, 2008. And
this is episode 54.
This is episode 54. Thank you.
This is actually episode 54 2.0.
That's right.
If you want to get technical.
And all of our listeners will be sad to know that we did a great episode that only recorded half the conversation.
For some computer glitch.
Yep.
Some way, some reason, somehow.
We won't mention what field I work in.
Right. We won't mention what I spend like 20 hours a day on either.
All right. So what do we got going here?
So this is campaign trail. This is the finish up to the Republican National Convention.
Right.
That's where we're at. That's where we're going. And the last time we did 54, we started briefly. We just talked briefly about Obama's speech. And
yeah.
It was a good speech.
Yes, it was.
He said good things.
He said them well.
People liked him. He's a good speaker.
Yes, and God damn it, that's not a reason to not vote for him.
Right.
Just like being smart is not a reason to not vote for him. I think I said before, I forget now which show I say what in, but I'm a big believer in voting smart people into office because they're smart.
Perfect.
He did say he wanted to get us off Mideast oil. I remember that. He said, as they all did, I like John McCain. I respect John McCain. I honor his service.
Did you know John McCain was a war hero?
You know what? I heard that.
He was captured in Vietnam.
He was a prisoner in Vietnam?
Yeah. Yeah, he was.
They should mention that when he's campaigning.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about his speech where basically it was he used the Rudy Giuliani model.
He did use the Rudy Giuliani
which is
model.
Noun, verb, and
I was a prisoner of war.
I was a prisoner of war.
And obviously, neither of us would have liked to have been a prisoner of war. And you know what? I was listening to Chris Matthews some time ago, and he was saying how much guys just can't, you know, rip anybody that's done that kind of thing, that we all sort of sit with quiet respect when we hear about somebody that went
through
it. And
that's, you know why? Because they're afraid, we're afraid they're going to reinstate the draft and say they can take everyone up to 53-year-olds.
That's right. They're going to haul our asses out to Vietnam. And
that's right. Or wherever the next
Iraq,
war is at.
Yeah, the war right. Du jour, which I think by the time that he gets into office will be Iran. Although you never know, there's a shot that we could have a war in Georgia.
Sure.
And I don't mean Atlanta.
I mean, if Dick Cheney has his way, we'd already be sending the boats there. The ships would be on their way.
Not to mention that we would actually be in Iran. I mean, I think we actually are now. I've heard that news. I mean,
I've heard that too.
Supposedly clandestine, but
right.
I believe it. I've heard that we're trying to disrupt their government, and I expect it's true. And you know, the man in the dark hole in the basement in Washington is certainly
right.
Wanting to do that, and he has very little time left to start another war. So,
and yeah, if he wants his legacy to be the best that it can be, there's nothing better than starting one more war, one more
the
police action, one more
that ever was. Then he needs to polish up his legacy a little bit,
I guess. Well, so much for Obama's speech.
We liked it. Did I mention that he specifically said that he wants to get the United States off from Mideast oil in 10 years?
You did mention it. You did mention it the first time. And now you know what I'm going to do.
Well,
I'm going to mention something that I know was not in the original episode 54.
What was that?
And that is, did you happen to see Frank Rich's op-ed piece in today's New York Times?
No.
Wow.
Yeah?
He basically slaps McCain around for 32 inches of column space.
Wow.
I was shocked. at how hard he slapped him around.
I'll have to read this September 7th Frank Rich column. Yep.
And basically, it's a lot of the things that we said. He basically said that the whole Republican Party is just lying. They're lying about Palin. They're lying about vetting her. They're lying about her credentials. They're lying about everything they say about Obama. And he just rips them a new asshole from one side up, down the other. And I, you know, 32 inches worth of venom.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I think that's great. It's amazing this stuff that they get away with. The
Well, you know why?
Well, it's because the Democrats don't fight back.
It's because you know he's a war hero.
I heard that he was a prisoner of war.
And you said it. It becomes like issue non grata. They can't touch it because
right.
You know.
Well, and the I was going to say the ironic.
Except
thing.
When it's Kerry, when it's John Kerry,
right?
You can touch it.
Jon Stewart on The Daily Show showed a picture of a guy with a Band-Aid and a picture of a Purple Heart on it, and the Band-Aid was on his cheek. And he said, you know, well, that's shameful for people to denigrate John McCain's service in Vietnam. And then he went, oh, wait, that was 4 years ago when it was John Kerry. They absolutely went after John Kerry on his strength in classic Karl Rove fashion.
Well, that's the Swift boat thing, right? I mean, that's
exactly,
what that was all about.
That's what it is. But the Democrats refused to do that. They know that John McCain was a prisoner of war. I know it's still a state secret, but it's getting out there. And the Democrats will not go after him about that. But there's plenty of things to go after, including the other thing they went after John Kerry about, which was flip-flopping. John
right.
McCain was against the George Bush taxes. He was against drilling, and I had three of them in my head just on the tip of my tongue, and I lost the other one now. But there's another big one that he's flipped on. When they talk to a Republican about it, oh, it's a reasoned change of opinion. You know, they're just much, much better at advertising. It's all public relations. It's about how they present the message. They say things, and Sarah Palin did a particularly good job of this, with a little laugh in their voice, as in a way to denigrate and angle something that might possibly be true or might be marginally true when they're talking about Democrats. But there was another thing on The Daily Show where they were talking about Karl Rove was talking about Governor Kaine of Virginia when Obama was thinking about picking him. And he was saying, well, he's only been governor for 3 years and he didn't do all that much before that. It's a small state. I know it's Virginia, but it's, you know, less than 1.5 million people. And there's no way that that's enough experience to be governor.
Right.
And then they showed him talking about Sarah Palin and all of the things that she did since December of 2006 as the governor of Alaska and the whole bullshit about being near Russia.
Oh, I know. Isn't that the stupidest thing you've ever heard in your entire
it's
life?
Pretty damn dumb.
That's like saying that the governor of Florida has that kind of experience because they're only 90 miles from Cuba.
He might just as well be a communist, you know, George, or what's his name, Jeb Bush.
Jeb Bush, yep.
Right, he's the governor of Florida, and
they're
and
only 90 miles,
90 miles away.
Right.
You know, it's intellectually dishonest, for sure. If they're out and out lying, I can't give you the specifics right off the tip of my tongue. But there's all this denigration of the Democrats and laughing and lying. And let's take a look at what's going on right now. The Democrats can't get anything through the Senate because the Republicans filibuster every Democratic issue. The 6 years before this last two, the entire government was controlled by the Republicans. The country is in a shit economically, in terms of their defense, in terms of our defense, our strategy, our safety, our security. When Bill Clinton left, remember Bill Clinton? We had peace and we had prosperity. We had a budget deficit. And now
a
budget surplus, you're right. Every single thing, every part of the aspect of life of Americans is worse. And it's all because of the Republicans. You can't get around that.
Right. I agree 100%. You're preaching to the choir here.
So, of course, the Republicans are running on change, but they're saying we want to change the way we did things.
Right, the way we already messed them up.
The way we already messed them up. We want to mess them up differently now. John McCain still wants war. He's hawkish on Iran. How many wars can we have? The great quote I heard was, "War is a failure of imagination." We've got to come up with another way to deal with the world. Of course, the world wants Obama to be elected president because they're sick to death of the Republicans.
Right.
And one more thing I want to bitch about as long as I'm rolling, and this is the miscongeniality there. The winner of the second prize in a
beauty contest. Yeah.
That's right. The John McCain's Monopoly choice wants to teach creationism in our public schools. And to me, that alone is enough reason to keep her as far away from Washington. Like, I'd send her to Alaska if I could.
Oh, well, because
there's no way we can have a person like that.
Right.
Running our federal government.
Hopefully we will be sending her back there in November.
I hope so.
So listen, I got the Times op-ed piece up. I just have to read you a couple of quotes.
Fire away.
Because they're so good. This is how he opens up. Sarah Palin makes John McCain look even older than he is. And mm-hmm. he seemed more than willing to play that part on Thursday night. By the time he slogged through his nearly 50-minute acceptance speech, longer even than Barack Obama's, you half expected some brazen younger Republican, Mitt Romney perhaps, to dash on stage, give him a gold watch, and the bums rush.
Well, he is old.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't like to hold that against people in their campaigns, but from what I understand, the man was tortured. So he's a 72-year-old torture victim who has 1,400 pages of medical records. And this is another thing that drives me nuts. The Democrats don't yell and scream about the fact that news people were only allowed to view his medical records for 2 hours, and they weren't allowed to make any copies. And so he puts this woman in who is an ultra-right-wing conservative, you know, rally the base, yeah, that's fine. But you better be careful of who you're putting in there, because the next 4 years is going to pick one, two, or three Supreme Court justices.
Right. I know. So later on in the op-ed piece, he says, "We still don't know a lot about Palin, except she's better at delivering a speech than McCain, and that she defends her own pregnant daughter's right to privacy, even as she would have the government intrude to police the reproductive choices of
Sarah
all
Palin
other women." Most of the rest of the biography supplied
cutter,
by her and the McCain camp
a
is
financial
fiction.
Benefit from the extraordinary.
Wow. Okay, she didn't say no thanks to the bridge
prices
to nowhere until after Congress had already abandoned it, but given Alaska
taxes,
a blank
we
check
all had a windfall,
for $223 million anyway. Sure.
And she's,
you know,
saying
the
that
federal
she's
government
against
too.
How about
earmarks,
sharing some of that
right
oil?
She
revenue
hired lobbyists
says
to secure
right
her own town.
A little
earmarks
bit further on,
says, "As for her executive
estimated to be
$1,000
per
hometown newspaper in Wasilla, Alaska, the per capita average of all the
this
other
is
states
not rocket science. It's $6 million and 53 employees."
Her much-advertised crusade against officials abusing their office is now compromised by a bipartisan ethics investigation into charges that she did the same. How long before we learn she never shot a moose either? So it's an interesting article, op-ed piece.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to reading it. I think it was a brilliant, brilliant choice by Karl Rove to pick Sarah Palin.
Uh-huh.
I think it energized the base. It makes the party look younger. It makes them more right-wing, which energizes the base.
Right.
It makes people curious, makes people interested in the election. I don't know if it's going to siphon off any women voters from the disaffected Hillary Clinton voters. But as a tactician, you can't beat Karl Rove.
Right. Well, I mean, he's showed us just exactly what he can do.
And if you want to be kind, you can say as a spin doctor, you can't beat Karl Rove. But another way to say it is as a liar, you can't beat Karl Rove.
Right. Yeah. Not much that you can say to that, Max.
No, that's pretty much truth. He's a reprehensible human being, but we've talked about him before. What else you got?
In the previous episode, or that we recorded, this episode, but...
In this other episode?
In this other, right. in this other episode, we got onto Hurricane Gustav, whether it was irony or poetic justice.
Oh, yeah. You want to take a shot at that?
Absolutely. Yeah. You remember I said that I had looked up the definitions, and whereas irony talks simply about things being in contrast to what they should be or the way they seem to be,
mm-hmm.
poetic justice includes some sort of punishment or reward. Punishment if it's negative, and obviously reward if it's good. So the question I said to you is was Hurricane Gustav ironic falling on the first day of the Republican National Convention, or was it poetic justice? Yeah. And I think the answer we come up with, at least my answer, was that I thought that it was headed for poetic justice until they had it downgraded from a 3 to a 2. As it struck land, and the fact that it missed New Orleans by 75 miles kind of switched it from poetic justice to just simply irony.
Well, I'm
what we really
sure
needed was a slam jam.
Well, and the next one's coming. Ike, I think, is going to blow over Cuba and then turn up.
Right towards New Orleans.
It could again.
God, you got to feel horrible if you live down there.
Yeah, and you have to know that they're coming, and you have to be prepared. My answer to that question is, it is neither irony nor poetic justice, but a flat-out benefit to the Republicans, because it gave them an excuse to tuck George Bush away in Washington. And
which
not
they did very, very well.
With,
right. Because, you know, the president couldn't be.
Well, no, he's much too busy taking care of the affairs of the nation. There was a hurricane hitting a major U.S. city.
Right.
He couldn't go to a political convention.
Right. And did you know that that John McCain was a war hero?
I heard that, yes. And I heard that Brownie was doing a good job, too. So hopefully, wherever he is now, may he rest in peace, Brownie will be doing another good job.
Right.
Because it's somebody else running the hurricane relief deal.
Oh, yeah. Well, you had to know that because it went so smoothly, or essentially went smoothly.
It went pretty well. And I think when we were talking about this the other time, I mentioned that there were two big boats in the yard for salvage.
Right.
And there was a barge, and the barge and the boats broke loose.
Right.
And
Ray Nagin pissed you off.
And Ray Nagin pissed me off because he said, we're going to have to make a note about that for next time. And you were very gracious to him. And you said, well, you know, you can't think of everything. And I said, well, when you're making your list after you've had the worst disaster in U.S. history of things to do in a hurricane, somebody's job it is to take care of the part of the list that says, tie the boats down.
Well, you know, you can see it
down better.
Max, you can see it. You can see the piece of paper. It's sitting on a desk in one of the New Orleans offices.
Yeah.
And it's probably written in like Sharpie magic marker so that it stands out.
It's a printout of Microsoft Project.
Right. And what it says on it.
Box that says, make sure all the boats are tied down real well.
That's probably like number three. Check the levees. Check the levees is number one, right? Put water in the bathtub is number two.
Bring some buses in.
Right.
Make sure there's food. Talk to the federal government. Oh, and by the way, make sure the fucking boats are tied up. And they got lucky.
They only got down to number seven. They didn't get to number eight. That was the problem on those two boats.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Mr. Nagin, but you can't make a note for next time to tie the salvage barges up.
But ironically, he maybe needed to make a note for next time, because next time might be like Thursday.
Thursday, that's right. I hope he remembers this time. If we hear in this next week that another hurricane hits New Orleans and a barge has broken loose and broken through a levee, I'm personally going down to New Orleans and slapping that man.
Okay. I'm sure he's shaking in his boots.
Yeah, probably not, but it doesn't make any difference. This is something that he should have thought of ahead of time. Somebody should have thought of. We have the United States federal government in its best effort to not fuck up again, and nobody could remember to make sure the boats were securely tied up?
Not quite. They didn't quite make it.
Yeah.
You know, and jeepers, that happens.
Well, I think it's unacceptable to let it happen again, but I'm done with it. I'm over it.
Okay, well, I can understand that.
Yeah. Good luck to New Orleans. We do not want New Orleans to be washed out. We and it's for purely selfish reasons. There's a lot of oil wells down there.
Right.
You know, in one town near here this week, I paid $3.61 a gallon.
Right.
That's the gas that's in my tank right now. In another town in the other direction, I was driving by a gas station today, and it was $3.79 a gallon. Is gas going back up?
I didn't notice it going back up because I was near where I work a couple of days ago, and it was still where it was at. So I hadn't noticed. I hadn't noticed.
We don't want the hurricanes to hit the nice oil drilling rigs.
All right, next topic on episode 54, 2.0.
Okay.
Was the whole thing about family and kids being off limits.
Yeah.
And the fact that both, and this was a negative on both the Republicans and the Democrats.
Yeah.
Both of these guys insisted that family and children were off limits, and then both have been accused of trotting out their kids to help with the message. On Obama's thing, it was that whole interview thing and his kids being there on the stage of the opening night of the Democratic National Convention,
right,
and the little cute dimply child saying, you know, hi daddy, and all that crap. Right, where what city are you in? That whole bit.
Right.
And for the on the Republican side, it was, you know, Palin trotting out the little Down syndrome kid to make sure that A, he was hiding the daughter's belly the first time.
Right.
So that they could figure out a way that they were going to spin that one. But then later on, you know, little daughter holding the kid and brushing its hair and playing with the baby and stuff. And then bringing the whole family up, you know, the whole happy family, including the, you know, the disingenuous boyfriend, soon to be shotgun wedding mate.
How would you like to have Karl Rove tell you have to get married?
I know, isn't that? But you know, I was really, really shocked. I read something in a blog, and I know it comes from a blog, and outside of yours and mine, I know we can't trust what they say in a blog. But I read a blog that said that Palin's daughter refused to announce that they were getting married before the story hit.
Hmm.
That her mother told her, I want you to go out there and say that you and your boyfriend are engaged before this other stuff comes up, and she refused. Now, I don't know how true that is, but it certainly says, you know what it says to me? You go, girl. You tell your mom exactly.
Well, if she's going to have her moment, the daughter, if she's going to have her moment in front of the camera, I hope it's before the election. And if she feels like telling the truth about mom, then I hope she does. You know, I'll take whatever the truth is. That's fine.
Right. I read somewhere in another blog that said that Palin's first child was born 7 months and 22 days after she was married.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, that's obviously something that can be calculated.
Right.
And if you want to make a suggestion that she's being hypocritical, you can be a little more direct and say that she cut funds for special needs kids.
Absolutely.
You know, there's a lot of reasons to dislike this woman's policies.
And
so obviously both sides have used their kids, and I think actually Obama's use, if you will, of his kids is much more benign than Sarah Palin's.
You know, when you said that in episode 1.0, I accepted it. And the more I think about it, the more it bothers me.
Yeah.
And that's because to me, it kind of ranks, you know, right up there with saying that you're sort of pregnant or almost pregnant. You know what I mean? If you say the kids are off limits, then the kids are off limits. If you say you don't want them involved, you don't want them involved. You don't then bring them on board to say hello, even if it is obscure, even if you're not. I mean, you know, no matter how you cut it, it was a family moment for the Democratic Party. And people got goo-goo-eyed and moist in the eyes and stuff over his two daughters and his wife being there and waving to their daddy. And, you know, if you say we're not going to use them, then you got to not use them. And that's,
I'll argue with that to this degree. Michelle Obama had to speak. Both wives spoke. Right. And she had to say, I'm not a scary person. I'm a good person.
Why? Why did she and Sidney McCain have to speak?
Well, Michelle Obama had to speak because she had made an impolitical comment about this was the first time she was really proud to be an American. And she needed to kind of, for his political reasons, she needed to kind of introduce herself to America, because the fact is that some people, it affects their vote how they imagine the first lady is. It all goes back to Jackie.
Right.
So she had to introduce herself, and she had to be okay for Americans to have as the first lady. Now,
right.
Part of who she is, a lot of who she is, as she said, is a mother. She said that her kids are the heart of her heart. She just brought them out at the end of the speech, and that one daughter took the microphone from her.
So the daughter rips the microphone out of his hand, out of her hand.
Right. And she just...
And God knows you can't control nine-year-olds.
Well, what are you going to do? First of all, you can't punish your child. Secondly, she was being genuine. And it was a genuine moment. The whole thing with him in the home of some Kansas family, that was all bullshit. But the kids were absolutely genuine, and it was not scripted. I'm convinced that was not scripted. The whole thing about Sarah Palin having her daughter hold the child to cover the baby bump, that's a lie. So that's my opinion on why they're different.
All right. I personally just think that you're being too easy on Obama. But I said that before. I said, that, you know, when you said it the first time last week when we originally recorded this, that I sort of agreed with you. But the more I thought about it, the more it bothered me. That's essentially what it comes down to. And it's only because of that. If you say one thing and then do something else, I think you open yourself up to hypocrite status. I mean, I think that it would be very difficult for Obama to come out and say, you know, I thought we said we were going to leave the kids out of it. How could you drag your kids up on the stage at the Republican National Convention when they're just going to turn around and say, hey, your kids were there day one?
No, but what he's talking about is, I'm not going to criticize her child. And you'd better not criticize my child.
Right.
The photo ops, you cannot get a presidential candidate who has a child below the age of 18 to run a whole campaign. These campaigns have been going for 2 years and not get a picture of the kid or kids. We saw Amy Carter. We saw Chelsea Clinton. Reagan's children were all 40 years old by then, so that's a little different. But you get the point.
Yes, I do. I do. I don't agree with it, but I get it.
Okay, that's fine. You and the rest of the world are welcome to be wrong. I mean, disagree with me.
Well, listen, Max, I know you've got things to do, people to see, places to go.
I do.
So thanks for coming back and re-recording episode 54.
Well, we'll see if it ever happens.
It's going to happen. Believe me, it's going to happen. It's going to happen if I have to get on the internet and do it live again myself. It's going to happen.
There may be some edits in it, but have a good night, and we'll see how well this comes out.
Yep, you have a good night now.
Yep. Bye-bye.
I'm not your only friend, but I'm a little glowing friend, but really I'm not actually your friend, but I am. There's a picture opposite me of my primitive ancestry, which stood on rocky shores and kept the beaches shipwreck free. Though I respect that a lot, I'd be fired if that were my job. After killing Jason off and countless screaming Argonauts, new bird of friendliness, like